At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On the air here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com, Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock, getting you ready for a couple of really good matchups in college basketball tonight as we get ready to close out the Elite Eight. Also, some NBA, Major League Baseball to discuss. Our final look at season win totals is today. We cap it off with the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll also hear from Steven Strasburg of the Washington Nationals and prep you for opening day in DFS. What's going on, Davis? Ready for this Tuesday? Seems like it's kind of busy here. We got two big games tonight. Will the Zags have the same success that we saw last night from a couple of the higher seeds, although one covered and one did not?
Right, which is kind of what we outlined on the show yesterday. Just a disgusting last-minute cover in the first game. The favorite bettors were sweating that one out hardcore, last-minute three to wipe off the cover. You never love to see it, though. The people, you know, the underdog bettors, they really come out for March. They embrace it. But yeah, I mean, we have a ton going on. We're getting ready for the Masters next week. And baseball starts this week. The NFL draft is less than a month away. I mean, just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, definitely. Brett Levy came through with Oregon State yesterday. So good job, Brett. We'll see who he likes tonight. We'll get Davis's pick in the NBA and college basketball as well. Here are our headlines as we begin the show. We got Houston and Baylor advancing to the Final Four. And I wouldn't say it was relatively easy for both, but pretty much within the numbers. As Davis mentioned, a backdoor cover essentially for Oregon State, just kind of nipping their way back into that. UConn women's team beats Baylor with a pretty controversial ending there last night as well. A surprise from the Dodgers, at least to start the season. Dustin May beat out David Price for the fifth spot in the Dodgers rotation. May has been probably the better pitcher between David Price and Tony Gonsolin in spring training, but no one thought May would end up being the starter, and yes, he is. And then, oh, Davis, here we go. Shohei Ohtani dealing with a blister on his throwing hand. He was supposed to debut Sunday night for everybody on national television. I'm not even sure what the story is at this point. They haven't said whether or not he's going to pitch or not. I don't know if you saw anything like that yesterday, but this is always the fear with Ohtani. He'll still be able to hit for sure going into the weekend, but pitching, I'm not sure if that's going to happen this week.
No, they did give us an update, and it was, I think, the best update possible, which is he is unrestricted. If he's got a blister and he says, I can hit, if he has a blister and says, I can pitch, they're going to let him do it. The Angels as an organization now, they've said, look, babying him has got us nowhere, right? He's had to have Tommy John. He's had to stop pitching. So as an organization, they've said, look, we are done restricting what he can do. If he says, I can hit through this, if he says, I can pitch through this, they're going to let him. And I think they are worried about his command as an organization. Basically, they're like, look, if you're not pitching, you're going to lose some of those finer points that make you a great pitcher. So I forgot the name of the beat reporter. I know we love to credit our beat reporters here on the show, but basically the one of the main Angels beat reporters reported late last night that he is unrestricted. That was the word that he used, that as long as he says he can play, they're going to let him play. So you know me, huge Shohei Ohtani bull over here, betting him for MVP, you know, betting him, drafting him on all these fantasy teams. This was, honestly, I think the news that Ohtani is playing through injury is actually better news than he's not injured, because it just means the reins are off with Ohtani, basically.
Yeah, and look, if in the last time, and look, if Davis is correct, and he very well may be, I do think there's value betting him to win the MVP. But we also, sports betting is looking at value. And if you are planning on doing this, you must do this before Sunday night, because there is so much risk with waiting till Monday. I mean, if this guy goes out and hits a couple home runs, by the way, probably should make this bet tomorrow. Because if he hits Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, and then goes out on Sunday and pitches a two-hit shutout, or throws eight, no one pitches a shutout anymore, I guess, but throws like a two-hit, seven-inning performance, those odds on FanDuel are going to adjust significantly. It will be the last time you can even sniff anything, I would say, in the 30 to or 20 to 1 range. Definitely a compelling story as we get closer. Also, across the way, Davis, I was shocked to see the Dodgers do the right thing and give Dustin May the chance. I remember they gave him the chance very quickly last year. We're like, all right, that's enough of that. But I think he's the best pitcher among their choices.
Well, I have to say, personally, I'm a little miffed at this, because I am I'm a price investor. Now, Dustin May is not going to throw 160 innings. He's not going to start 25 games this year. They will give Gonsolin some starts. They will give David Price some starts. But I agree with you. From an organizational perspective, this was the right thing for them to do. You know, Dustin May, former top prospect, has all the tools in the tool shed. You want to see him get out there. And I believe that he is going to miss the Rockies. So he actually might pitch their home opener. Now, I don't think that there are going to be any fans in LA when they get back at home. But, you know, it is nice to see them tab him as the fifth starter and, you know, move some of those veterans to the bullpen.
There'll be a lot of strikeouts in the early innings for Dustin May, for sure. Okay, first and foremost, before we get to opening day, we still got college basketball to get to. So coming up next, it's time for our look at the Elite Eight. Tonight, it is USC and Gonzaga, not to mention UCLA taking on Michigan, and neither line is double digits. So hopefully we have some good games in line there. Also, quickly, we're not going to do NBA fantasy standouts, but if I'm not mistaken, a player in the NBA last night had the most FanDuel points of anyone else in one game in 2021. So I want to get to that as well. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today, Sports Grid, SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, welcome back to our show. We're here every day, noon to 2 Eastern. We'll have our 2021 Major League Baseball preview on tomorrow's show, so make sure you tune in. And then, of course, it's opening day on Thursday. I'll hopefully be at the Marlins Rays game. That's my plan, at least at this point, but you never know. And things can change pretty quickly, but that is my plan as of this moment. Davis, before we get to, and we're going to bring in our producer, Brett Levy, get his picks tonight too, before we get to the NCAA, USC Gonzaga, and UCLA Michigan, am I correct in saying that Russell Westbrook's triple-double last night was the highest point total on FanDuel for any player in 2021? At least that's what I saw yesterday, something like almost 100 points or insane like that.
Yeah, so it definitely is the most this year. He had 35 points, 21 assists, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 block. So I think that is over 100 FanDuel points, or right at it. It might have been like 98. The only other performance I remember getting close is Anthony Davis had a 100-point game at some point. I think he had, I think it was like 30-30 with like five blocks and a bunch of steals as well. And actually, feels crazy now because DeMarcus Cousins, not on a roster, but Cousins had a game that got close to 100 points as well back in his Sacramento King days. But yeah, Russell Westbrook, clearly the top scorer of the year thus far.
All right, so there you go. Elite Eight tonight, we will be a really interesting dilemma to see if another team can cover in the Pac-12, because we have two of them again tonight. And of course, after Oregon State played themselves into a backdoor cover last night, can USC do the same thing today? Let's take a look at the line. The Zags are -9 with a nice hefty total there at 153.5. So of course, they're expecting points tonight. Let's bring in our producer, Brett Levy, for this one. Davis, USC, you know, certainly has kind of fought its way into this point. They did not have a tremendous regular season, but give them credit for what they've been able to accomplish. The only question is, can they cover this 9 tonight? Or do you like the total of 153.5? Seems to be that it's a little bit on the high side, but we know the Zags put up 80, and then it's a wrap, and then the thing goes over.
Yeah, betting on college basketball totals, not something that I would recommend if you have a weak heart. I mean, just it's so tilting. If you have an over in these games and you're just watching these, you know, 19-year-old kids brick 3-point shots, it's so brutal. I will say I'm going to err on the side of Gonzaga here. Their adjusted efficiency on KenPom is up to +37.8. That is the best of any team in the database for over a decade at this point. I mean, no team is even close to this Gonzaga team. You have to go back to 2015 to find a team that is even close. I really think we're looking at something special with this Gonzaga team. So I'm laying the points -9. If I had to pick the total, I would pick over. But betting college basketball overs, I really can't do it.
All right, Brett, your turn. Who do you like tonight in the game between the Zags and Trojans?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to end up staying away from this one with the spread. I think Gonzaga gets to the Final Four, Craig. They're the best team in college basketball this year, top to bottom. They're so deep. They're really well coached. They have tons of NBA talent. And, you know, that's not to say USC isn't long and athletic and skilled as well. Andy Enfield has actually never lost to the spread in the NCAA tournament. That's an amazing stat I saw. He's 10-0 in the NCAA tournament against the spread. So that's kind of why I'm staying away, because Gonzaga is the team I have winning it all. I thought they're the best team in college basketball all year. They were the first team to enter the tournament undefeated since the Karl Anthony Towns Kentucky team that, you know, had a ton of first round picks, the Harrison Twins who went in the second round. It was just a loaded roster as well. So this Gonzaga team's too good for me, but the 9's too much for me to lay, Craig.
All right, well, we'll see tonight. The game begins at 7:15 Eastern. Now, the other matchup, I think, is probably a little bit more compelling if it goes the way of the Zags in the first game, because Michigan, one of the other number one seeds, is going to be taking on UCLA. They've played fantastic throughout this tournament for sure, and the line indicates that, as it's 6.5, 7 in some spots. The total is 135.5. So, Davis, you would be led to believe with the side and the total that this game won't be determined until maybe the last 5 minutes of the game, at least based on looking at short numbers here and a total that is kind of low. How do you see this game tonight? Do you think UCLA has a shot to cover or win, or does Michigan continue along this great season that they've had?
Yeah, so I think the fact that Isaiah Livers is not playing for Michigan is kind of has kind of kept the market off of Michigan, and is also, I mean, everyone is all caught up in this Pac-12 story right now. You know, just everyone is loving these Pac-12 teams coming in, fighting against the chalk, all these teams that were not picked to do very well. But Michigan is, even without Isaiah Livers, they are a fantastic team. They are number 3 in KenPom's adjusted ratings. They're almost as good as Baylor. UCLA is the number 16 team. But there's a pretty big difference in terms of adjusted efficiency, both in offense and defense between these two teams. I hate to be super chalky and take both of the favorites, but Michigan is really well coached. Juwan Howard has done a great job with these guys. I really like the way they play. And, you know, we don't think of Michigan as a basketball school, right? They're Cardano, if you're listening, you know, we think of them as a football school, or at least I do. But I think that Michigan should be able to get through, and I think they are a Final Four team.
Yeah, Juwan Howard's done a great job with Michigan. All right, Brett, so look, we know Davis is going to be wrong on one of these games. I mean, there's a dog is going to cover one of these two games.
Yep.
It's just it's going to happen. It's just a fact that this is the way that it works. As long as I've followed this stuff, it's a 50-50 proposition. I don't know which dog is going to cover. Will it be USC? Will it be UCLA? Which one, Brett?
I'm going to pick UCLA to cover, Craig. I like their roster makeup. Campbell is a top 25 recruit in his class. Mack Etienne, their freshman big, was a top 50 recruit in their class. But then what UCLA has that a lot of teams don't have is they have five guys that have come from the same AAU program, Craig. So these guys have not only been playing together since they all stepped foot on UCLA's campus, but even in high school. And I think sometimes in this college game, we've seen the transfer portal and how that's increased over the recent years. That's how Eric Musselman likes to build his teams. But sometimes playing with guys that you've played with your whole life and having that chemistry, that can get you over the top in some of these low scoring tight games. So with a 135 total in this one, and they're clearly expecting this one to be high 60s, I think UCLA can keep it close within seven. I'm not going to say UCLA is going to go to the Final Four or anything like that, but I like their roster makeup. I think Mick Cronin's a good coach in his own right. He's not Juwan Howard. He's not coming from Miami Heat culture and 20-plus years of NBA experience and all that. But, you know, his teams play tough and physical, and I like the UCLA Bruins to cover.
All right, so there it is. Brett takes UCLA, and that will be his dog of the night to cover. Total 135.5. And then, Davis, I guess Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken, Saturday night is the Final Four, and Monday, at least that's normal, right? Like, that's the way that always used to be in the past. We'd have the Final Four, one game at 4 o'clock Eastern, one game at 8, and then the championship on Monday night. At least we get that this year.
Yeah, you know, we're all craving a little bit of normalcy at this point in our lives. And the weirdest part was the round of 32 games taking place on a Monday. I mean, that just threw me off entirely.
Yeah, well, how about tonight? I mean, tonight's even crazier. Like, this is basically you can make the argument Gonzaga is the best team in the country. I think a lot of people wouldn't doubt that. They get to finish off the Elite Eight on a Monday, on a Tuesday night at 7:15 Eastern on national television. It's just a weird year for sure. All right, coming up next, we wrap up our win totals in 2021 with the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. They make the announcement Dustin May is in the rotation. How does the rest of it look? And can they repeat as champs and get over their total in 2021? We'll hit on that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opening day in Major League Baseball. Can't wait for that. We'll have it covered here on Sports Grid. Our preview of the season is tomorrow here on the show. On demand, you can go back and watch. We have gone through every Major League Baseball season win total. Give you either an opinion, a lean, a bet. We've had it all. Go to our YouTube channel. Check it on demand. You can see us talk about them all. And we've saved the best for last. Highest win total I've ever seen in Major League Baseball in all my years of doing this. Maybe it's just because I'm more aware of it now in the last few years than I had in years past. last 5 years with sports betting basically being legal in so many different places and easily accessible on FanDuel. I just don't ever remember seeing a team's total at 103.5, which tells you everything you need to know, Davis, about this team. There's a lot to like. I think position for position, they're one of the best teams in baseball. If a couple of things go wrong, they have a couple of guys that probably will fill in and be okay for them. Deep pitching staff, they have at least 6 or 7 guys that can start for them. They also have deep pockets. So if somebody's out there, they'll go grab the player too. Like if you're a Major League Baseball player that's very similar in the Andre Drummond, LaMarcus Aldridge category in the NBA, like this is the team that you're calling and saying your agent, hey, you know, like I don't even need to play. Just find me somewhere to go because I know I'm in the postseason. I know I'm probably winning the first round. And then, you know, anything goes in the second round of the postseason. You know, something crazy happens and things happen. But this team's going to win a lot of games during the regular season, Davis. I guess the question is there any value at all on betting an over at 103.5? For me, there just is not.
I can't bet the over on 103 games. You know, there's this famous saying in baseball, and I bet you know this one well. You're just going to win a 30-year games. It's the nature of the sport. And you're going to lose a 30-year games, and it's those other third of the games where the talent and the skill and the, you know, the grit and the grind and all that stuff really matters. To get to 104 wins, which is what you need to clear the total, you'd have to win like 80% of those skill games. And I think the Dodgers are very good. And I actually think you're even selling them a little bit short. I mean, if they have anyone get injured, they have pretty much a great player that they can call up and play in the face of that injury. They have a bunch of left-handed bats, so they're gonna be able to platoon really well, which we know is just a huge advantage in the modern game. But I mean, the guys they have on their bench, Matt Beaty, Chris Taylor, Edwin Rios, all of those guys are really strong hitters, but they also have some great guys in their minor league system as well. Kybert Ruiz is probably a guy that we're gonna see called up, you know, to catch this year. They have some other, you know, non-roster invitee guys who are decent that they can call up from their AAA system. They have strong pitchers sitting down there in their AAA ranks, guys like Josiah Gray, who is their number one overall organizational prospect. I mean, and the other point you made, which is very well taken, they have so much money. They will spend whatever, and they're going to get every Major League Baseball equivalent of Andre Drummond getting a buyout. You know, you're sitting there at the trade deadline and you're a veteran sitting there on a crappy roster winning 70 games. You're going to do anything you can to get the Dodgers because you want to win a World Series, and they will buy relief pitchers. They'll buy starters if they need them. They'll buy reserve outfielders. They'll buy reserve infielders. It just doesn't matter. I mean, they are the Death Star of Major League Baseball. I'm still not taking the over. I'm not taking the over on 103 games. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I understand. I think that the Dodgers of 2021, to me, are the most similar to the Yankees of 96 through 2001, I guess, even though they didn't win in 01 or they didn't win in 97. It's just like that 5-year, 6-year run with Jeter and Posada and Bernie Williams and Andy Pettit. Like this is the closest to that, as far as building a dynasty. Now sports now has become almost impossible to repeat in any of these sports. So I'm not saying the Dodgers will repeat, but to not bet on them to get to the postseason would be insane. I think the one, if we go back to the lineup, I think the one questionable aspect of their lineup is at second base. And you see Gavin Lux listed here. Lux is for sure still their best prospect, but they have just been very adverse to playing him. I've asked a lot of people about him and why, and they just don't feel that either the skills are enough, the maturity is enough. And I also would say this, Davis, whoever you're batting eighth in front of the pitcher is not going to be in good shape to start. So as bullish as I was last year on Lux, I just haven't gone down that road in fantasy this year. But Davis, this is another thing. They'll get a second baseman if they need to at some point during the season, and they'll make Lux play wait another year, or they'll trade Lux. They won't even care. Oh, all right, we'll give you Gavin Lux. We'll go and get it and get another second baseman. That definitely could happen. And as far as their pitching is concerned, I mean, it's the deepest rotation in baseball. Their top three starters are all amazing Cy Young Award winner types, and Kershaw and Bauer and Buehler. Urias could definitely come into his own this year. Dustin May is very good. I believe they have Jimmy Nelson from the Brewers too. Like they just have like 7 or 8 guys. Let's build the under here. How can we build the under, Davis? I guess Kenley Jansen can show that he's done. Like, that's possible. Okay, so we'll do that. They probably have somebody they'll just throw in the ninth inning and save 40 games anyway, but let's just use that. Kenley Jansen doesn't have a great year. Mookie Betts has one of those old Red Sox years. Remember, he was going like MVP type to okay, then MVP type to okay. Let's just say he has an okay year. Muncy falls apart, right? Muncy's no longer good. He had his day in the sun. Last year was real. He'll just get on base. He'll strike out a lot. Like, but again, they could just still go to the minors and grab somebody else to do that. But my fear with betting an over on a total like this, Davis, is that, and I've talked about this a ton, I'll do it again, 100 wins going into the last week of the season, you're sitting on 103.5. You're like, I'm money in the bank. And then you look at the Padres last week of the season, and they have 93 wins. Dodgers shut it down. It's over. And then they go 1-5 in their last 6 games, and you're seeing Gonsolin pitch, and you're seeing Jimmy Nelson start, and you're seeing all the offensive players sit. And then they go into the postseason. They still win the World Series, and you get to 101. You're like, what in the world happened? That's why I don't do that. That's why I can't bet the over here.
Well, first off, we don't need to drag Jimmy Nelson's name through the mud. He's a good pitcher. He can strike some guys out. I'm actually a little interested in Jimmy.
He could be
Nelson.
Their 6th or 7th guy. He could be in there too.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is how the under gets there. Bellinger re-injures that surgically repaired shoulder, right? He's coming in injured. Bellinger's clearly their best offensive player. No disrespect to Mookie Betts. Bellinger is a slightly better hitter. Clayton Kershaw, right? The age just wears on him. We think Clayton Kershaw is going to be able to give them 30 starts. If Clayton Kershaw gets hurt and you're talking about, okay, we got to, instead of replacing 20 starts with giving these guys rest, we got to replace 30 starts, and we don't want to throw Walker Buehler and Trevor Bauer all those innings, right? Then you're starting to replace those. Then let's not forget that Trevor Bauer was fantastic last year and in 2018, but he was bad in 2019. He was bad in 2016. There are ways that Trevor Bauer can struggle. Well, Trevor Bauer will always get strikeouts, but he will also give up some home runs, and he will also walk some guys due to the way that he plays when he's pitching poorly. Now, obviously, when he's locked in, the spin rate, you know, all the things that Trevor Bauer has done to make himself better, but that could be a guy who sees a wide range of outcomes in performance. And then you got to rely on Julio Urias, David Price. Those guys got to give you 25 good starts, and then you start seeing some cracks in the armor, because they will be able to get good starting pitching on the market, but they're not going to be able to get Cy Young starting pitching. They're not going to be able to actually replace Clayton Kershaw. They're not going to be able to actually replace Walker Buehler on the trade market. And then you start thinking, okay, 95 wins, 98 wins instead of 100 wins. So that's the path to the under, is Kershaw getting hurt and Trevor Bauer underperforming, going back to like his 2018 version of himself.
I mean, Kershaw missed time last year too, and they still ended up getting all those wins and getting to the World Series. And look, Bauer is a very fair point too, because no one really knows for sure with them now taking a closer look at the doctoring of the baseball, if that will affect them or not. We really don't know. No one has a clue. This is a first for this happening in baseball. But yeah, I think that if I'm leaning anywhere, it's leaning under, just because you can win. Amazing to think that you could win 102 games and lose a bet in baseball. I mean, that is just incredible to think. So that's the way that I'll go with this, Davis, but it also wouldn't shock me to see, and you know, we could be looking back at this in May, right? And look at the Dodgers, and they're 60 games in and they're 50-10, right? And we're like, oh my gosh, why don't we bet the over? The over, I mean, it could very well could be, but I won't go that route. I'll just lean under, a no bet for me.
What's the record for wins in a season? If we could get the FanDuel Sportsbook to give us odds for, like, you know, +500 for the Dodgers to break, is it the Mariners, right? Like 114 wins, maybe. Yeah.
If
FanDuel could give us the odds for this team to break the all-time wins record, I would bet that, because I do think they are that good. I think they have that much talent and that much money. That being said, the FanDuel Sportsbook, you're not getting my hard-earned American dollars on the over here. I cannot bet the over on 103 wins. It just feels too anomalous.
Yeah, I think that the point you bring up is great, because while I wouldn't also bet the over or the under, you'd probably get plus money on that bet that you suggested. Maybe you'd get plus 140, like, or 150. And I think that if it's going to happen, if they're getting over 103, Davis, you're probably right. They're probably going to break the all-time record. So why not throw down 100 to win 150? That may not be a bad idea. All right, plenty more to come here on the show. Davis is going to give you his tidbits on how to make money properly on DFS opening day, Friday, all weekend long, the season in Major League Baseball. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Also, Steven Strasburg pitched yesterday in a sim game. Looks like he is ready to make the season start. We'll hear from him coming up too. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opening day start for the Washington Nationals coming up this week. A couple of years ago in the postseason, there was no one better than Steven Strasburg. He was fantastic. He had a great regular season, and all of the nonsense previously about holding him back from Washington and the old Bryce Harper regime was done. Nationals won the World Series. Well, 2020 came, and Steven Strasburg made a total of two starts, and those conversations came all the way back again. Strasburg went into spring training this season and missed some time with a calf issue and said yesterday that he hopefully has put all of that behind him and is ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go into camp ready and, you know, I felt like I was, and then it was just kind of like, you get like a little hiccup and, it's just about, not trying to develop some bad habits and favor it. And, I feel like for the most part, I've been trending in the right direction. So I'm just going to keep grinding.
He wasn't completely clear, Davis, about making his first start of the season, but I do feel you're going to see him either week one or week two. And then, of course, I think it's all systems go. His numbers, Davis, from 2019 were insane. I mean, this is a first round pick in every fantasy draft with these numbers. 251 Ks, 1.0 whip, 18 wins. I know you can't quantify that, but he did win 18, 3.32 earned run average. And then he came last year in that weird year and just made two starts. He just was never healthy. And as far as pitchers are concerned, Davis, I would say that Strasburg is in that category of you take him, and if he delivers on the promise, you may end up winning the league. But then again, you may end up getting nothing from him. I mean, the range of outcomes on him are incredible. And I think that there are a lot of other players like that in fantasy, but he's the one that strikes me as far as a pitcher is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, his velocity has been way down in spring. He threw a pitch. He was throwing pitches either yesterday or 2 days ago, and his velocity was down like 92, 93. He's been a guy who's touched 99 for huge chunks of his career. His average fastball velocity was at 96 in earlier portions of his career. I've always just been partial to Steven Strasburg. He was, I think the first baseball jersey I ever bought was actually back when he came up in 2010 in those first electric appearances for the Washington Nationals. He's a guy I've always wanted him to succeed, but he's entering into his age 32 season now. He has had as many injuries and small nicks and bumps and bruises along the way as any starting pitcher. I agree with you, though. He is a great example of a guy where you could conceivably end up cutting him in a 15-team mixed league throughout the course of the year if he just can't get healthy, not able to give you the innings. Or he could also be a pitcher who finishes, with 18 wins, more than a strikeout per inning, really solid whip. You know, he plays for that good Nationals team that's gonna give runs, you know, lots of run support for him. So I like taking the shots on guys like Steven Strasburg, but he has not ended up on a ton of my teams thus far.
Do you think that before we look at the rest of the Nationals pitchers and who may go if Strasburg does not, but that's a big part of why I'm bearish on the Nationals this year. I think they're going to finish last. But do you think that the equivalent of him from an offensive point of view, somebody mentioned to me Correa was more like Strasburg, where if you got a full season, you never know, could be an MVP type. But I kind of see Giancarlo Stanton as that guy with the best comp. And maybe it's even Judge, too. I mean, is it fair to just put those two together, Stanton and Judge? I mean, I don't know. I feel like Stanton, to me, is the Strasburg of the hitting type in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, that boom-bust type of guy is how I really like to play fantasy. I don't really like to draft guys hoping to get their median projection. We want guys who can do more. And something we see a lot in fantasy baseball is guys who get discounted because of missed games. The two guys you just pointed out, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, you know, these 6'5 tight end linebacker-looking guys who probably should just DH, and even DHing, they can still find themselves getting nicked up. But then there are also guys who get discounted because of, you know, category stuff, and one of them obviously being batting average. I mean, Joey Gallo had a 181 batting average in limited time last year. He's a great example of a boom bust guy where if he can hit 240, right, just run a little good on batting average on balls in play, you're going to get 35, 40 home runs from him. I think he is a great example of a boom bust guy. I think someone like Austin Meadows, another batting average guy, yeah, but someone who plays in the middle of that really good lineup, someone who we think can hit 35 home runs, should be able to steal a couple bases for that lineup. And then the other category of boom bust guy are the prospect guys, right? So we don't know when they're going to come up. We don't know how good they should be, but they should be very good. So Jared Kelenic, Joe Adell, Bobby Witt Jr., Wander Franco, those are guys where you got to hold them at the bottom of your fantasy baseball roster. You don't know when they're going to be up. You don't know how much they'll play, but they're very boom bust and they could way out earn their draft slot just if they play, right? If Jared Kelenic was up day one, where would he be going in the main event? You know, fifth, sixth round, probably.
Sounds right. Yeah, that sounds right. I want to run through this just to show you kind of why. I mean, now I'm like finalizing all of my beliefs for the season at this point. I'm pretty much there. I mean, a couple of guys got, like Odor got cut by Texas. I don't think that factors in. I always like to wait just to be sure when they place guys on the IL. Like, I mean, who knows? Like Strasburg goes on the 60-day IL and I make a prediction, I look like an idiot the next day. I look like an idiot anyway, but I'd rather look less like an idiot. Look at the Nationals pitchers. I want to run through these, James, real quick. Joe Ross, John Lester, Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin. Okay, those four and Steven Strasburg, and show me no other graphics, right? That one for the season, and I'm fine, right? Like, if those guys make all 30 starts, absolutely, the Washington Nationals are good. Now, I'll show you this. Take a look at what is behind these pitchers who are not the models of health. There is not going to be a team in Major League Baseball that is going to finish with all five starters. In all likelihood, 20 teams are going to use more than five starters by June 1st. This is scary. This is scary if you're the Washington Nationals. I don't know what they were doing going into the season, but if those names are the main ones behind those five that you just saw, this could get ugly really quick for them, Davis. And their bullpen, by the way, isn't all that great either. I just am shocked that this is the way it went. I guess I was not. I'm shocked now. But 2 weeks ago in the spring, and I saw Washington a few times, I was like, man, this team just, I mean, they can hit a little bit for sure. They got the best player in Juan Soto, and they got Trey Turner, and maybe Victor Robles ends up being good. Schwarber can't defend, but he can hit. And then I saw some of these guys that were bringing in the pitch and out of the bullpen, and then those extra starters, and I was not impressed. I got to say, I don't care what their record is, Davis, in May, I would be very worried about their second half of the season.
Yeah, Steven Fuentes, Seth Romero, Kyle McGowan, Ben Bramer. I mean, I was doing some research when we were working on this segment, and Yeah, these are all guys who have been up in Major League Baseball at one point or another, other than Stephen Fuentes. He was an amateur free agent from Panama all the way back in July of 2013. I mean, this is, it's bleak, man. How are you the Washington Nationals and you have this as your AAA reserves for starting pitching? I mean, their top organizational prospects are all in high A ball, rookie ball. I mean, they're 2-3 years away from ever making an impact at the major league level. Like, this would be a team where if Strasburg or Scherzer gets banged up, you know, they're going to be on the phone trying to get, you know, the Red Sox long man to come in. They're going to be trying to get, you know, Ross Stripling. They're going to be trying to get their Tony Gonsolin types up because they just have nothing behind Max, nothing behind Strasburg. I mean, look, they are in a position where if John Lester at the age of 37 gets hurt, they're in trouble, right? John Lester, not a good starting pitcher, a below average major league starting pitcher, and they desperately need 150 innings from John Lester. Not great. Not great at all.
Yeah, they have a kid in the minors who I think they believe is going to be ready next year, and if they rushed it, maybe this year, but he's got no minor league experience, or very little. His name's Jackson Rutledge. He pitched some in the spring, and he's above all of those names that we just showed. I think they believe that he has a chance to be a two in the big leagues. We saw a little bit of him in the spring, but I mean, April, he is not ready. Like, they want to get him 6 or 7, I would guess, double A starts if they were forced into a postseason situation. But that's just kind of, Davis, why I'm off this team a little bit. I think that's part of it. And the other thing that worries me with Major League Baseball teams, like, there's a couple of things that happen. Like, yesterday, for example, the Marlins traded a reliever to them, James Hoyt. They also ended up signing Steve Cishek, and I believe they signed someone else. Like, that's the team that you like, your Angels, right? Like, really? Like, the 2 days before the season, they just basically completely reshuffled their entire bullpen and added three names. To me, that's a little bit of a red flag. Washington sending down Keyboom with less than a week to go and saying Starlin Castro is now our third baseman. I mean, he was adequate as a third baseman, but, and who knows, that may be, end up being his position full time. And he moved from short to second, maybe over to third. Like, there just doesn't seem to be a great plan there. And that's what worries me a little bit. And that's why I think when I end up finishing off and picking the NL East, I'll probably have it Braves 1, Mets 2, Phillies 3, Marlins 4, and I think the Nationals are going to end up finishing last. They just don't have enough depth for me.
Yeah. To your point on the Angels, though, I just need to defend my guys. They're shuffling the bottom of their bullpen. They are good at the top, right? They have Raisel Iglesias, Mike Myers, Junior Guerra. I have no problem with them shuffling the bottom of your bullpen. As we're talking through this, though, I want to go bet the under on the Nationals win total at the posted FanDuel sportsbook odds. I mean, look, why do I want to be tied to this team in a positive way when a John Lester injury, you know, has them calling up guys from high A ball? So I'm with you. And the Nationals, by the way, should be a team doing these deals. They should be looking at who other teams are cutting right now as they get down to the 26-man roster, and they should be adding whatever live arms they can find, because what they actually need is they need a Freddy Peralta type. They need a Tony Gonsolin type. They need a guy who can be a 3-inning long reliever and a 5-inning starter. They need, you know, Ryan Yarbrough or whatever, because they don't have one guy like that on the roster right now.
No, and look, Strasburg has not been the model of health at all. We just spent the first 5 minutes talking about him. What if he only makes 15 starts this year? I mean, that's within the scope of a possibility as well. So, and by the way, what if Kyle Schwarber can't play left at all, Davis? Like, that's in the possibility. Josh Bell was graded the worst defensive first baseman in baseball last year. They're going to roll him out there again. They think he should be a DH. They're giving him a shot as well. They don't have a second baseman. Castro's at third. Soto is an absolute monster and a beast. He hasn't played in 3 days anywhere. Like, I don't know. I just have my concerns, not to mention – and 60-gamer was sort of nonsense. I get it. But how do the Nationals have a total on FanDuel that puts them over 500 when they were 8 games under 500 last year and their ads were Schwarber and Bell? Are those two 4 WAR players going into 2021? I don't think so. All right, NBA odds coming up next. We're going to highlight one game in the association. We'll get Davis's thoughts, so make sure you stay on the grid for that. Our updates coming up at the top of the hour. We got Chris joining us to let us know what's happening in sports. Any moves going on in all of the sports, NFL, NBA, as well as Major League Baseball, we got it covered for you. And as a reminder, on tomorrow's show, our full season betting preview of the 2021 baseball season is on deck. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. In addition to the games going on in the NCAA tournament tonight, of course, we have the NBA. And boy, we got a really good matchup, West-East, as they will square off tonight in Denver, the Philadelphia 76ers at the Denver Nuggets. And the line, Davis, is Denver -4.5. I know that these are your guys this year. Still got a shot with your MVP bet for sure against the Philadelphia 76ers. Total is 221.5. A really short line here for Denver only to be favored by 4.5. What gives here tonight in this game?
Well, this could be a rest spot, maybe. I don't really understand this line, though. No Embiid for Philadelphia, and the Nuggets looked great in the debut for Aaron Gordon. The three-man unit of Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic had a 136 offensive rating in their minutes together and a 94 defensive rating in their minutes together. I think the five-man lineup of Jamal Murray, literally any guard on the roster, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic could end up being the best lineup in the NBA other than the LeBron, Schroeder, Anthony Davis minutes for the Lakers and the Kyrie, Harden, Durant minutes for the Nets. I think it'll be very close when it comes to the end of the year. I think Aaron Gordon is setting up as a good fit as long as Michael Porter Jr. continues to be able to hit three-pointers, because Aaron Gordon can almost kind of play center offensively for the Nuggets. You know, they don't need him to shoot. So I'm taking Denver here -4.5. I actually love this, and I'm taking the over as well. I think the Nuggets, you know, can get to like 135 themselves. I love them tonight.
All right. Parlay of the over and Denver a little bit from Davis Maddock. Follow, of course, on Twitter at Davis Maddock Daily Rotos, where Davis does all his DFS work, and you can catch it there. Subscribe. Make sure to get yourself a membership. Baseball's coming, too. Davis will preview the baseball season for coming up in just a little bit. But up next, Chris has the update. We'll have a preview of the second half at the top of the hour. In addition to odds to make the 2021 postseason, we'll focus on the Los Angeles Angels coming up on the show. FanDuel's got all of the odds up for you if you're interested in checking those out. Stay on the grid with us and follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. We'll be back for our second hour of our two-hour show right after this. Don't go away.